Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, July 1st, 2021. Wow, the month of June just flew by. Here we are, basically in the middle of summer. Today on the broadcast, I want to go back to a series that I began last week on the doctrine of Christ, the person, the nature, and the work of Christ. And last week, I spoke about the supremacy of Christ. There was a heresy in the early church that was seeking to undermine the gospel and the person of Christ. It was called the Gnostic heresy. And it still was this today in the New Age movement and in many other cults, where an attempt is made to rewrite the teaching of Christ and to teach that he was not Almighty God, but that he was a created being. And this heresy did everything it could to undermine the person and the work of Christ. Last week, I began with how Paul, the apostle in Colossians chapter 1, dealt with this heresy by proclaiming the superiority and the supremacy of Christ. This week, I want to talk again about the person and the nature and the work of Christ. It is so important that we understand who Jesus is and what he came to do for the human race. The Bible is very clear on the person of Christ. And today, I want to talk about what's called in theology the incarnation of Christ. Very simply, that means in the flesh, or the teaching that God came to earth. He took on human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. But let me set this teaching up in a way that you will understand it, and we'll go back through the theology and the scriptures that teach it. One of the most popular songs in the 70s was from a group known as Led Zeppelin. It was called Stairway to Heaven. Now, as far as musically speaking, as a musician, it's a beautiful song. But you have to listen closely to the words because it says an awful lot about today's subject. One of the words to the song in the lyrics, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. Why is that so important? The words stairway to heaven is really an example of the human race and the attempt of the human race to reach God. Now, I don't know if that song, Stairway to Heaven, is about that, but that one verse sums up what our teaching is today about. Humanity has been trying to reach God through their own efforts. They want to somehow learn more about him or make themselves acceptable to him. And so in the way human beings, in the human race thinks, the way that we reach out to God is by buying a stairway to heaven. Because as human beings, we are very religious. Human beings are religious in the core of their nature. And in order to reach God, human beings believe the only way to do that is erect a stairway to heaven. They tried that in Genesis chapter 11 by erecting or building a tower of Babel. And God was not pleased with that, so he stopped their little plan and scattered the races. But the problem is so deep, because back in Genesis chapter 3, human beings, our first parents, Adam and Eve, lived in perfect harmony with God. God simply gave them a paradise to live in, with one exception: don't eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know the rest of the story. Satan tempted them, and they broke God's command and brought sin and death into the garden and into our universe. Now, how is that problem going to be solved? Well, mankind in their religion and in their religious hearts believe the only way to solve that problem is to somehow us reach out to God and reach him in our way. We need to find a way to reach and appease him. We need to find a way to buy that stairway to heaven. But God says no. He says no to the stairway of heaven. He says you cannot do anything to solve this desperate problem of sin and death. You can't reach me. I'm an infinite, holy God. You don't have access to me in your own religious ways. And because I love you, and because I want to solve this problem, God says, you can't reach me in your stairway to heaven, but I can reach you. And so what does God do? He descends down from the stairway to heaven to reach us. And I want to show you how he does that. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, the Apostle Paul is addressing a problem in the Philippian congregation, one of pride, the sin of pride. And he says the only way we can solve that is to show humility to one another. And Paul gives the example of Christ as the greatest act of humility. If we take our example from Jesus, we can solve this strife and problem in the church at Philippi. And so he writes them, and these first few verses are part of a great Christian hymn. I want you to hear it. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is one of the most beautiful, richest verses in all of Scripture. Paul says, be like Christ in your thinking. Do you not know, and I'm paraphrasing, Jesus is God. And in that state of being God, he did not grasp for equality with God, because he's already equal with God. But he did something. He emptied himself. In order to solve the problem of the human race, in order to pay the penalty for our sin, in order to reconcile humanity to a holy God, God descended down the stairway from heaven. He took aside his royal robes. Here's what he did. He laid aside his rights and privileges. He took off his royal robe, descended down that stairway from heaven, and took on human flesh and became a servant. God manifested himself in human flesh. That is what the incarnation is all about. There are other scriptures that teach that. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. God the Word, God the speech of God, the very Logos of God, stepped down off of his throne, laid aside his robes and royalty, not ceasing to be God, but laid aside his rights and privileges, and took on human flesh, becoming a servant. It's actually another way of saying that he descended the stairway to heaven to tabernacle among us, to become one of us, to dwell among us, to become the perfect sinless sacrifice on our behalf. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Such a rich understanding of who Jesus is. So God himself laid aside his robes of righteousness, never ceasing to be God. He took on human flesh, lived among us, perfectly kept God's law. He became a servant. That is great humiliation. It's humiliating for God to do this. He is the glorious creator of the universe. And in an act of great humility, he lowered himself down, walked down from his royal throne in heaven. He stepped down from eternity and became a man and became a servant for us. He laid aside his rights and privileges. And the Bible says in Philippians 2:8, he was found in human form. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And he became obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. Religion would say, I need that stairway to heaven. I need to do something to reach God. And relationship says, you cannot reach me through your good works and your human efforts, and so I am coming down from this stairway to be with you and to live among you and to take your judgment on myself and humble myself in such a way that I die on a cross. Everything is accomplished by this act of humiliation. And in this act of humiliation, the Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus exchanged his glory for our salvation. He took our wrath and judgment, and we received his righteousness and perfection and forgiveness, the great exchange. In his death on the cross, he solved the problem of sin and provided access for you and me to now step up and reach God, not on our own human works and efforts, but because of Christ, he tore the veil away. He tore the great barrier away that separated God from man and provided now us a way to reach him. It's not a stairway to heaven. That's not what he gave us. He gave us his life so that we could now talk to God and pray to God. We don't need a priest. We don't need a prophet. We simply need to reach out to him through the righteousness of Christ, his death on the cross, open the doorway to heaven, if you will. And because of his obedience, and because of his humiliation, and because he condescended to become man, God the Father did something very wonderful for his son. Out of this great humiliation was exaltation. And in his resurrection, God highly exalted him. He gave them him the name that is above all names. At the name of Jesus as Lord, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a wonderful scripture to open up our thinking and our understanding that the very God of the universe humbled himself. Paul is saying to the church at Philippi, the problem here, this rift of pride, the only solution is to understand the humility of Christ. He stepped down from eternity. He laid aside his robes and his righteousness, and his rights and privileges, and stooped to the position of a servant. Remember when Jesus washed the disciples' feet right before the crucifixion? To teach us humility, he stooped down and washed all of the feet of the disciples. That is how we are to be, servants like him. Regardless of our power, regardless of our position, we humble ourselves. God, in his exalted glory and in his power and his position, removed his robes of royalty and became one of us to become sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. What a glorious, glorious condescension. What a trade-off. Think about that for a minute. Think about your concept of who. Think about his glorious position, his power. He's the one that spoke and the universe leapt into existence. This is the very God of the universe who says to you and I, you are worth it all. I love you this much that I am willing to step down off of my throne because you can't come to me on your own. You cannot reach me in your own human efforts, but I will reach down to you. Had God not done that, we would have all been judged, rightly so. All of us who inherited that sin nature from the act of our first parents would have perished unless God had acted in this way. This is the gospel in a nutshell. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Almost unfathomable. But God did something incredible. Religion says there is a way. I will find a way. I will appease this God. I will learn on my own way to do what is right, to change my ways. I will fix the problem on my own. I will do what's ever necessary, and God will accept me. And no, he will not. The Bible says all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. All of us have sinned and broken his commands. We can do nothing to earn that righteousness before God. Every Ramadan, Muslims set aside 30 days to pray, to fast. They want to be acceptable to Allah through their own good efforts. So they spend a month fasting, and there's nothing wrong with fasting. It's very healthy. It controls our appetites. It puts the flesh in place, if you will. But remember the motivation behind these acts. Muslims are doing everything from the human side to make themselves acceptable to God. There's that stairway to heaven. There's that man-made artifact that says it's within my grasp and my power to make myself acceptable to Allah, and on Judgment Day, maybe he will accept me. But no, in Christianity, God says, you are dead in your sins. You are spiritually dead. You are incapable of doing anything unless I show mercy. Ephesians chapter 2, we were all dead in our trespasses and sin, but God in his mercy clothed himself in human flesh. He took on human flesh, became a servant to us in the greatest act of condescension and humility. He became one of us in order to rescue us and to save us from our sins. We didn't need another priest. We didn't need another prophet. We didn't need another system of right or wrong. We needed access to this holy God. And our stairway to heaven was so inadequate. It would not be anything we could ever do to reach him. And so God says, I understand that. I am going to reach out to you. And in Philippians chapter 2, we have looked at one of the most beautiful descriptions of the incarnation of Christ. Every knee shall bow, the Bible says, every tongue shall now confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is God. He is fully God and fully man. He is the second person of the Trinity. And as we saw last week, Christ is supreme. And this week we're seeing Christ the servant, Christ the humbled bondservant, the sinless substitute for our sin, the very God-man. What a rich and beautiful teaching from God's holy word. I want us to pause here for just a few minutes and listen to a beautiful song focused in on who Jesus is. This is Lauren Daigle, In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, and my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, through the fiercest drought and storm, what heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are filled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, final breath. Oh, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Beautiful, beautiful worship from Lauren Daigle in Christ Alone. It's a beautiful hymn that centers in on what I've been talking to you about today. You probably learned a new word that you didn't know today, but now you know what it means. Incarnation. In the flesh, from the Latin. And it's all about what God did for us. That is what Christianity is all about. It's easy to understand if you know the difference. Religion says, I do something. Christianity says, it is already done. Done is the word for Christianity. Do is the word for religion. It's something up to you. To you. Now, some of you may say, don't I have a part? Well, you do have a part. You're responsible to believe the gospel. But even then, that responsibility, that nudging, that inclination is by God's Holy Spirit. We just don't wake up one day and decide to be a Christian on our own. No, it takes God and his mercy to awaken us. We are awakened to what our problem is. It's like in a shower, you think of something you never thought of before. Wow, I didn't know that. It's the same way an awakening has to take place for us to see what our problem is. And when we look in the pages of Scripture, we see the vast reservoir and the depth of God's love for us. That God did this, that God experienced this, that God subjected himself to this in order to save us. What great love he has for you and me, and what great love he has for his honor to do this. His honor is at stake, and he does something to save us. He steps down off of his throne. I hope today that you'll remember that every time you think of Christ, every time you think of Christmas, every time you think of our problem, you will recognize what it involved and what it cost God to save us. It has been a privilege and an honor to join you today on the broadcast. I want you to have a safe 4th of July weekend. Please don't end up in the hospital. Please be safe and enjoy the celebration for our freedom. God bless you. Have a great 4th of July weekend. And I will see you very soon again.